appreciate that. I appreciate that song.
Amen.
Jesus was homeless. He did suffer. We ought to enjoy him and praise him and appreciate him for what he done for us. Well, I guess a lot of folks hadn't found out that we started, but anyway, the youngins hadn't got over here. Maybe they'll come. Is any of them over? Is any of them, anybody over? Is it? Well, anyway, we're here. I want you to pray for Brother Hauser's wife's dad. They took him to the hospital. Stephen, Rosemary told me, and they's on her way when she called me. So, to emergency room. I don't know what his problem is, but you pray the Lord will help him tonight and help them. And Geneva's brother was buried this week, and you pray that the Lord will encourage that family. And sad, a lot of sad things are happening. A lot of things are happening that we don't expect this year, has happened right around Christmas time. But anyway, God knows what's best, and his grace is sufficient. And I appreciate it. I'm glad. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer, and I really want you to pray for us. We're closing out a year. God has blessed us tremendously. Now, I'm not sure that the next one's going to be that easy. I'm afraid we're going to face a lot of things next year. I'm afraid we're going to face some things that most of us are not ready to face. I believe that we're way further down the road than we think. And I believe that we need to get a hold of God. He's the only one who can help us. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Thank God he is. All right, Sam, you pray for us, and everybody pray tonight.
Our Father, we bow in the precious name of Jesus tonight through his blood. Lord, I thank you for this little gathering here tonight. Lord, I'm glad that Brett, him here and the youngins, thank you, Father, for letting them be well. Lord, you're just good. You're good to us. You're a good Father. We just want to come and thank you tonight. We want to thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, you've been good to us. Lord God, you've been our stay. You've been our joy. Father, we're satisfied with you tonight. I'm glad, God. Glad you give your son. He's the best. Nobody greatest here. Nobody done for us what he's done.
Right.
And our Father, Lord God. Nobody's humble with us. Nobody's bright as him. There's no light as bright as his light. And our Father, nobody's beautiful as him. He's all together about it. Nobody's excited as he is. Lord God, we want our Father, he's just good that we can come to him. He's a friend. David said, the Lord's my shepherd. He's ours too tonight. And he's our friend. He's our Savior. Our Father, we just want to come and say thank you tonight.
Yes, amen.
Lord, this year is coming to a close. We look back, Lord, you've been good to us. Oh, we'll have to give you all the praise and honor for it.
Yes.
We've not done nothing. Our Father, we're ashamed of ourselves. Lord, you've loved us and you've blessed us and you've put up with us. Lord, you've just been good to us, and I will tell you, I appreciate it tonight.
Amen.
Lord God, how great thou art.
Yes,
you're a great God. You're an almighty God. You've done great things around here. Lord, we've seen you do wonderful things around here on these grounds. Lord God, I want to tell you, I appreciate it tonight. Lord God, ain't none of us worthy of it. Ain't none of us fit for it. Lord God, you just love us anyhow. You just put up with us, and I appreciate it. Lord God, and I pray now, Father, we'll just come and get our mind on you. We'll look to you. We'll trust you, and we'll believe in you tonight. These hours that we're living in. Lord God, it's just good to be here tonight. Our Father would rather be here than anywhere we know.
our God, and just come and wait before you.
Yes.
Our Father, why you can come by here and do great things.
Yeah.
I was sitting here thinking about Simeon and Anna went to the house of God. They just hung around the house of God. They got to see Jesus. Lord God, now I pray tonight, and they know Simeon is full of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, this is a good place to be tonight. And I just pray for you, touch my body. Lord God, I just desire that you touch his body.
Amen.
Lord God, and help him, Lord. And give him many more years here with us, dear God. And we need him, our Father, his faith and his wisdom. It's not him, Lord, but it's you are leading him. It's you, he's believing in you, dear God.
Amen.
And I pray, Father, give him more power with you. Give him more wisdom and fill him with the Holy Spirit. Lord God, tonight, and I thank you as our overseer. Lord, help us to honor him tonight. Our Father, because of the Word, because of Jesus, Lord God, thank you for the church. Thank you for each one in here tonight, dear God. I'm glad you love every one of us. I'm glad you love the world. Father, now just do tonight and have your way. Thank you, Father, and touch and do whatever you want done tonight. We'll thank you in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to tell you again, I appreciate you coming. And I appreciate you being faithful. Do what I ask you to do. And Brother Ricky's over in North Carolina, and he's freighted. He just called me about 3 times today. And he said he wanted to come to church, but he's freighted for the roads. And then no telling what it's like between here and over there. So I want to thank God for the weather we've got over here.
Yeah,
ain't God good?
Amen.
Snowing all around us, and folks are wrecking everywhere, and things is happening everywhere, but God sort of looks after this place around here. I was thinking when I got my car tonight and the roads and the porch are dry, thought about how good he is.
Yeah.
Amen. To look after us. Might be because somebody's praying, somebody's believing God, somebody's loving him. Now, I hope and trust tonight you'll pray. If you have to leave before I get done, if I ever get done, or if I ever get started, don't matter to me what you do, which way you do it. You just do whatever you feel I'm pressed to do. But I've been thinking, I want you to turn with me over into the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, and I want to preach to you about what to do next year, how to begin another year. I believe this next year is going to be a different one. I believe next year is going to be different from any one you've ever been in. I think you're going to see more things happen than you've ever saw. And I don't know what all is going to take place. But in Exodus chapter 12, and verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on two side posts of the door, post, and upon the upper door of the post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat it with flesh. They shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs with the pureness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded about, your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and yet you'll eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And against the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token. The houses where ye are, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now I want to talk to you about this lamb tonight and about a few other things that goes along with it. Now the Bible tells us here that this is for the house of Israel, the congregation of Israel. Now he tells them exactly what to do. What we need next year, what we need in the beginning of the year, is to be sure that you've got the blood and the lamb inside, the blood outside. I mean, that's what they had. They had the blood on the doorpost, but they had the lamb on the inside because they eat it. They took it inside of them. Now, the Bible said, I don't want you to put anything with it. Don't boil it in water. Don't eat it with don't boil it. I want it roasted. Therefore, I don't want any substance with it. I mean, I want it just like it is. You know, if you get the Lamb of God, you got to get the one that's perfect, first of all. And then you've got to get one that is nothing in it, nothing attached to it. Nothing that, and this is not, you know, Jesus, he was telling them here, I don't want you to cook it like a meal. In other words, it's not something you get to enjoy or to fill up your stomach and to make you feel good just because you're an Israelite. I want it because you are going to face death tonight if you don't have it. I mean, you're going to face death. At midnight on the 14th day, you're going to see what's happening. Now he said, I want all of this done, and I want you to eat the lamb with a roasted lamb. Then I want you to eat it with unleavened bread. If you never did eat any of that, you ought to eat some sometime. Tasteless, don't have any taste to it. Ain't nothing, just flat. But he said, not only that, I want you to eat it with bitter herbs. And that scared me when I read that. That means sharp. It means cruel. I mean, something that you can't stand hardly. I mean, those bitter herbs are going to be eaten. See, we got this lamb today that people just go around talking about Jesus and buying new cars and buying new... Hey, I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die so we could have all these fancy stuff, all this worldly stuff, all this junk. He's going to get us out of Egypt. I mean, we may not, I'm not talking about the rapture tonight. I'm talking about we're going to be separated from this world. Now, I know this is for Israel, but I'm sure that we can get a spiritual insight on what's going to happen to us. I mean, we're going to go out of here with a lamb on the inside, blood on the outside, and with the herbs on the inside, and the bitterness that we're going to face, and the bread that we're going to eat is not going to be eatable. It's not going to be something that you can enjoy. But thank God it will be the safety and it'll be security for everyone that'll take it. Now he said, I'm a coming through on this night, this particular night. I'm coming through and I'm going to kill everyone. Or the death angel's coming through. I mean, the death angel's going to come through Egypt. And everyone that don't have the blood. If you don't have the blood applied, son, I mean, we're in bad shape. Amen. I mean, you can start out next year with whatever you've got, but if the blood is not applied, you're in bad shape. You're in danger. You can start out next year just shouting the victory. I'm not talking about real shouting. I'm talking about this put-on stuff that I hear and see so much of on the TV or carried on the radio. Boy, I mean, it's got the wrong sound to it, got the wrong ring to it, got the wrong feeling to it. It don't feel like God's in it. When we take this lamb, and we're going to have to suffer over this lamb. I mean, the Bible says in the last days, we're going to have our heads cut off because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. It ain't going to be some funny thing like we've got today. And I mean that God's just going to give us everything. I mean, we're going to have bitter herbs. And we're going to have a lot of better days. And we're going to have cruel days. And we're going to have sad days in our life. But thank God, I'm still glad there's a lamb. Now, this lamb was sufficient to get them out of Egypt. This lamb was sufficient to get them out of the bondage is in. Now, I mean, the Lamb of God will do the same thing today. I mean, the majority of the world's in bondage right now. I mean, we need to get out of Egypt. We need to get out of the world. We need to let the world go. We need to decide, I'm going with God. This is a coming year, and we're facing it. I mean, a great day, but Lord, what a terrible time we're going to have. And if we don't get out with God, it's going to be worse. Amen. You stay down there with the devil and with Pharaoh and his crowd, which is a type of the devil, and all you're going to have is trouble. All you're going to have is bitterness and discouragement and death. Amen. Every firstborn. I mean, he said every firstborn, that when that death angel comes through, every firstborn is going to suffer. I mean, they're going to die. That's what he said. But I thank God I read. Now, I know this is for Israel. I know all about this. And I realize that it's not anything concerning us. But I looked over there in the book of Luke. And I read where it said she brought forth her firstborn son. I mean to tell you, that took my heart. When I thought of God saying one day down yonder in Egypt, all those firstborn have to die. But ain't you glad that God under grace sent his firstborn son? I mean the only begotten son. His only begotten son. Ain't you glad he sent him over in the book of Luke? I mean one day he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wrapped in swaddling clothes. I mean he's the firstborn to die. He come to die for everybody, thank God. For every sinner in the world. Not just for the Jews, but for us Gentiles. Had no hope, had no covenant, had no promise, and had no God. But now, in the book of Luke chapter 2, it said the firstborn came. She brought forth her firstborn son. Well, it is his son, and it's his firstborn child. A child was born, a son was given, but in him, all of us have redemption tonight. Now, thank God there wasn't anything I done about this one. In the book of Exodus, I had nothing to do with that lamb. They didn't have anything to do. Amen. All they had to do was go pick out one. Amen. All they had to do was find one that didn't have any blemish, didn't have any spot, and keep it up and check it out. And after they checked it out, they'd done the same thing to Jesus. Amen. Old Pilate said, I can't find nothing wrong with him. kept him up there in jail, kept him around there a while, whipped him two or three times, and finally wound up still saying, boys, I can't find a thing wrong with him. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's a man, I mean the judge, and the only reason that fella said that, brother, is because he thought, well, I mean, I've got to do something to please the brethren, but he still said, I can't find no fault in him. Now, you take him, do what you want to with him, but I can't find nothing wrong with him. I thank God his wife said, I had a dream about him. Boy, ain't you glad that God had a son, nothing wrong with him. I mean, everything was okay. I mean, Pilate couldn't find nothing wrong with him, and nobody else could really honestly find anything wrong with him. But listen, that bunch of liars said that he was this and that and the other thing, but Pilate said he's faultless. For I'm concerned, I whipped him for nothing. For I'm concerned, I laid the lash on him for nothing. I beat him with many stripes. He opened not his mouth. Ain't you glad? But thank God, listen, I'm glad one day that God let his son have come down here. And now down in Egypt, every son died. How many ever firstborn, whether it's boy or girl, whoever it was, every one of them had to die because they didn't have the blood. But I'm glad that God so loved the world one day that he said, I'll just send my son. I can't stand to let him go to hell. I can't stand to let him go down. I can't stand to let him go to hell without hope. I've got to do something about this. And I mean, he died his son one day 2,000 years ago. He let that son come down here. He gave that son way back before the foundation of the world, but he was born 2,000 years ago. And Mary said, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost said, she brought forth her firstborn son. Oh, listen, I'm glad that God let his son die for all the Egyptians, for all of the sinners, for all the people going to hell. God so loved us. Oh, Lord, what a God we've got. What a Savior. I mean, Lord God, everybody ought to be here for Christmas to celebrate the birth of the Lamb of God. Not only just the Lamb for Israel, but the Lamb for the world. Amen. I'm glad that God so loved us. Now I know it's going to be bitter next year probably than it ever has been, but this lamb makes it a lot sweeter. Amen. I mean, if you've got him, honey, you can walk through dark valleys, you can walk through the whatever you have to. Old Paul was shipwrecked and naked and hungry and cold and destitute of many things. But I want to tell you right now, I mean, he still wasn't depressed. He never got down and out. I mean, he never got blowed out. Bless God, he said, shout. Amen. I can't understand it. Boy, I want to tell you right now, there's a saying a while ago, tell me the story of Jesus. I think we ought to tell it every Sunday. Amen. I think we ought to tell it every time we meet. We ought to tell how he lived. We ought to tell how he died. And then we ought to tell how good he is after he rose. And I think we ought to tell how good his grace is and his mercy is. I mean, old Paul, you couldn't get that boy down no matter how far down in the dungeon you put him, no matter how dark it was in that jail. He'd write a letter down there through that little peephole and get a little light. He'd get under that light probably. I have somebody to write it for him and say, tell him to shout. Tell him to rejoice. I say rejoice and rejoice evermore. Oh, thank God we got. Hey, listen. I mean, the world out there is satisfied with what they've got. But I'm glad I found out one day there's something better than the world got. I found out one day there was a son born. There was a lamb given. I'm glad the blood's been applied. Thank God for the blessings of the Lord. Oh, listen. Said you take this lamb and you look over him. You be sure he's okay. And if you ever examine Jesus, I want to tell you, you can examine him from now on, and you'll never find anything wrong with him. You'll never find anything that he's done wrong. You'll never find anybody mistreated. Ain't he good?
Amen.
I mean, you'll never find anything that he misspoke. And they said in that song a while ago, he's homeless. I seen where Clinton said he's going to take care of the homeless. Bless God, he got nothing to take care of them with. I want to tell you who's taking care of the homeless. That man that was a homeless man while he lived here on this earth. Honey, he's the one that's taking care of the homeless. He's the one that's looking after the poor. He's the one that's feeding the children. He's the one that's feeding the old folks. He's the one that's buying wood over in Bulgaria. He's the one that's buying the shoes over there. He's the one that's sending the stuff over there. He's the one that's giving them food over there. He's the only one. He's the great I am. He's the all-sufficient one. No one like him. Never has been one like him. Ain't it good? Over there on the shores of Bulgaria, there's a shipload of shoes, brand new, waiting to be unloaded, already in the dock. You know who brought that ship over there? Same one that barred other ships. I mean, he just said, let me have that ship. Oh, we had to pay a little fee, but he gave us some money to pay it with.
Amen.
I mean, it didn't cost anything.
Amen.
Really didn't cost us anything.
Amen.
I mean, people sent it in. And I don't know where God gave them a job, give them sense enough to work, and give them the money. And I'm so glad.
Amen.
I'm so glad that we've had a little part in any of that stuff. Amen. I looked over there today. I went over at the home today, and Sam and Rose Emmett and some of the youngins over there, somebody's over there, I don't know who it was now. And they was over there going through a little bunch of little toys. I mean, little teddy bears and all kind of furry things. And they picked out a few and laid them on the table so they could say we kept some. And they had two big old boxes to send over to Honduras. Boy, I mean, them little young ones just lost their home and lost their houses. They won't understand. But boy, so I hope there'll be some little lambs in there.
Amen.
And I hope when they see it, they'll say, wonder what this is. And somebody will tell them, that's the lamb. That's the lamb.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad that God, listen, God's so good.
Amen.
I can't tell you how good he is. I can't begin to tell you how good he is. I mean, I don't have to die. My children don't have to die. The blood's done been shed. And to everyone that had led him, it's been applied. And I mean, the bitter herbs, he took them. I mean, we're going to face a rough year, I'm sure. And it's going to get rougher from here out. But thank God, I'm glad he can take the bitter and make it sweet.
Amen.
Right over there, a few chapters over, they got down there to the water. They tried to drink it, and it's bitter. They said, go out there. Told them, got to fussing at Moses, like they always did. They fussed at Moses and said, the water's bitter. God said, take that, you see that tree?
Amen.
Take that tree. Cut her down and cast her in the water. So let me tell you something. That tree made all the difference in that water. I mean, when he cast it in there, the water got sweet. You know what the tree represents? Calvary. I mean, when Jesus died, it got sweet. Son, from Calvary this away, it's been sweeter and sweeter. Ain't it? I mean, God's been so good to us. I mean, I was looking at a tape today, I mean, about those Jews over there that escaped, some of them. And I was looking at a little bit of it, and I seen them walk up. I told an old man to stand there, and he stood there, and after a while, them Germans come by and shot him. And boy, I tell you right now, he just fell. Now them girls and boys had to stand there and watch it. I mean, it's pitiful what they went through. But Lord God, I'm so glad they got things coming. I'm glad. Listen,
I'm glad after a while that bitterness is done. Hey, all of that bitterness that they went through, them bitter herbs they've drank down through the ages, ain't gonna taste like nothing when they get to heaven. I mean, they'll forget all about it. And they may not go to heaven, but they're going to get a new earth. Anyhow, at least they're going to be here. And I want to tell you one day, God's going to be on the throne. Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. He'll be their king. And he's going to be my Lord. Isn't he wonderful how to have somebody like him? Lamb. That's no blemish or no spot in him. Nothing wrong with him. Thank God for a lamb that I can trust in and one I can rely on and one I can believe that'll keep me from dying.
Amen.
They put that blood on that doorpost, and I've heard them sing a song. And they'd sing, I hear them sing it sometimes. People come by here and sing it. Is the blood still there? You go check anytime you want to, honey. If it ever got there, it's still there.
Amen.
I mean, I know some people get shook up and they'll say, I wonder if it's still there. I want to tell you, it's still there.
Amen.
If you ever got saved and you ever got the blood applied, it's still there. And if you ever got the lamb inside of you, he said, I want you to eat it. I want you to take it in. I want you to get it inside of you. Lord God, it's the best thing you ever had. I mean, all the Christmas presents you ever got, you never got one like this one I'm talking about, when the Lamb of God got on the inside of you. You remember that, don't you? Don't you remember when he came in? Don't you remember how good it felt? Don't you remember how you couldn't hardly stand on the ground? How part of the time you felt like you'd have floated in the air? Can't you remember when the Lord just came in and the Holy Spirit came and the joy of the Lord filled your soul?
Amen.
God, I'd like to have that.
Amen.
I'd like to have it so real.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to get back to it?
Amen.
When somebody speaks his word, a name, you'd have to start shouting.
Amen.
How many used to? You could just speak it. I mean, back when I first got saved, had a little old young preacher there in that church, bless his heart, gone to heaven. But I'm telling you, he's something. You could walk up to him and say one word about Jesus, and he'd start crying. I mean, those tears are flowing down. He'd say, it's the best thing. Oh, Lord. And I went out there one day to saw him some wood. Just one winter, he's off in a meeting. I thought he was. And I was a lost sinner then. Before I got saved. Might have been one got a hold of me. Me and Gary Montgomery's daddy, sawing wood for him, thinking we were going to do some good, I guess. I just felt like we ought to do it. And I knew he wouldn't be home. And I went out, we were out behind the house, and he walked around the house on us. One Saturday, he'd come in from one church going to another. I don't know why he came to the house, but he come by. I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. I'm standing there. They come up and start crying and said, I'm not worthy for you to sell wood for me. Oh, God. I don't know what he thought I ought to do, but it just like a knife stuck in me. And every time I went somewhere or done something, got around a wood pile, I could hear him say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Boy, I appreciate that. It wasn't long until I got saved. Old Joe Miller was a great blessing to me. Let me tell you something. I mean, we've got something to shout about tonight.
Amen.
You may not do much of it,
Amen. But
you've got plenty.
Amen.
I mean, I'm just glad that I found over here that Jesus, Mary, brought forth. Let me read it to you. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. Wrapped him up. Somebody said to die. I mean, he's wrapped up just like a dead person. Just wrapped him from his feet up. Wrapped him up. He's appointed that way. That's why he came. He didn't come down here to live. He come down here to die. God knew. He wasn't going to set up no kingdom. He come down here to die because we're not the house of Israel. We're not in the house. We didn't have no lamb. We didn't know nothing about putting blood on the doorpost. Oh, I'm glad he came down here and died. And then I'm glad he sent somebody down here to do the work for us. I still couldn't have put the blood up there. I didn't know nothing about it. But I'm glad he sent his word, and I'm glad he sent the Holy Ghost. Boy, he done the work. I mean, I ain't had a thing to do with none of it. I'm just saved by grace, and I'm so glad tonight. I don't know why I'm so happy about this thing. I mean, you know, this is just a little crowd of people, and it's the night before Christmas. And boy, I tell you right now, there's a spirit in here that's making me want to jump up and down. I mean, really, this makes me want to thank him. Let me read it again. And she brought forth her firstborn son. He's always God's son. But when she brought him forth, it was her firstborn. And that firstborn was to die. It was, wonder why? I just thought about that this evening. I thought, why did he put firstborn? Because over in Egypt, he said the firstborn got to die if the lamb don't. Amen. Well, thank God one day the lamb was, came by. I mean, that lamb over in Egypt wasn't sufficient. Yes, sir. Amen. I mean, it'll do for a while. It'll get you out of Egypt. But it won't get all your sins taken care of. But thank God this firstborn, this firstborn, when he died, that's the end of it. No other firstborn ever had to die. No other secondborn ever had to die. Nobody else ever had to die without hope. Bless God, he came so we could live. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Didn't come down here to make you feel bad. Come down here to make you feel good. All them bitter herbs they's eating over there, I mean, they haven't eaten but bitter herbs. But I want to tell you right now, I mean, we may have some bitter days and we may have some hard times, but it'll still be sweet. He can take the bitter and make it sweet. Because of Calvary, he can take them bitter, that bitter herb and make that water sweet that we're drinking. The Holy Ghost, brother, will be sweet in your soul. Ain't you glad? Lord, I mean, it's wonderful to be saved. And wonderful to know that you have somebody. The greatest present anybody's ever got this Christmas is the Lamb of God. Greatest thing anybody ever got a hold of is the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Mary's firstborn. Best thing I've ever found out was her firstborn son coming to die for a sinner like me. Didn't have no hope, didn't have no covenant, didn't have no promise, didn't have no God, and didn't care. But thank God, man, one day he came by. And he made me care. You know, I never thought about going to heaven or hell either. Too much till about 2 or 3 weeks before I got saved. I thought about it a little bit, went to church a time or two. But boy, when the Holy Ghost come by, it's just like the death angel was coming by that night. I really mean that. I mean, when the Holy Ghost came up from where I was at, that new ground, I thought I'd be dead in hell by midnight. That's really what I thought that. I went to church that Thursday morning thinking, boy, if I die, I'll go to hell for sure. I didn't have nothing to do with that. Just God. Amen. I mean, he didn't send his son down here for nothing. He sent him down here for sinners. Amen. To save sinners. And I'm glad he's down here doing that. He's doing a job at it too. And we may not be getting a lot of them saved around here, but I want to tell you right now, he's doing business in other places. Amen. Every time I call Bulgaria, Romania, they say, boy, the Lord's really working over here. I mean, God's just a moving over here, and souls are being saved, drunks are being converted. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, he's doing it over here, too. I'm sure there's a lot of places that God's moving. And there's a lot of places God would move. And I want God to move this next year.
Amen.
I don't care if the lights go out. I don't care if the water goes off. I don't care what happens. I want God to come by.
Amen.
Whatever it takes for God to come by and do what I've heard has been done in the past and what I've heard that's been done in my lifetime, I want God to come by and do it again.
Amen.
I want to tell you again about Landon Rice telling me about that fella getting coming back to his home at, over there, around where Landon was raised, over around in that part of the country. 30 years later, and said, I was here 30 years ago, and I got done preaching. Well, I didn't get done. We didn't close the meeting. We just still shouting it out. But I went outside, and some feller said, they want you in the cornfield over here. And he said, I went over to the cornfield. It's full of sinners. A whole bunch of sinners had gathered up, tore all the pieces, wanting to get saved. My God, if that could happen 30, 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, I believe God is still the same.
Amen.
Don't you? We get God at Brookside like we need him and like we ought to have him. There'll be people out here in the bushes waiting for us to come out to get a hold of us and say, I want to get saved. Now, old Landon said that preacher got over and got to talking to him, praying with him, preaching to him. They tore the whole corn patch down. I mean, they got saved, got shouting, and just tore it up. Just tore the patch down. Now you say, well, I don't believe they'd do that. Oh, I know. But see, I've been back there. I've been back there when I've tore a few patches down. And I've been back there when I've seen other folks tear a few patches down. I was up here in a meeting in Virginia. The little church called Copper Ridge. I came out of the meeting, came out of the house, and turned the service out. And I walked outside, and the moon was shining, and the trees, a lot of trees there. It was in the winter time, and a fella came up to me and said, are you the preacher? And I said, yeah. He said, I want to get saved. I said, okay. He got down on his knees, and he got to praying, and I told him to pray, and I got to praying. And the first thing I knowed, he took off a shout out to a cornfield. I mean, he went out of hearing a shout. And I asked some of the people, I said, you know that fella? I said, never seen him. Never heard of him. Never know nothing about him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Went down to Banner Taylor's that night to eat. And they'd fixed a big meal. But while I was waiting on the meal, some old woman sitting in there, she said, tell the preacher, come in here, I've backslid. I ain't got fellowship like I want. I went there and started praying with her. Man, I come to, and they'd done eat. And everybody had done eat. And about half or two-thirds of them had gone. But I looked over in the corner, and there's another person, a woman over there. I'm over here passed out, and she's over there passed out. And we went in to eat, and they put her across the table from me. Hard to eat.
Amen.
And once in a while, I'd look at her, and I'd start to say something. She'd go, ooh, and she'd pass out again. And then when she'd come to and start to say something, I'd go out. We was there till after 12 o'clock before I got done eating. You say, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, I don't care what you do or not. I'd like to have it again. You know what I mean? I'd like to get to the place I can't stay up. I'd have to. I mean, I'd just like for God just to come by and just shake the bushes one more time. Wouldn't you like for him just to come by and rattle your latch? Wouldn't you like for God to just come by one more time and say, here I am. I'm here for business. I'm here to help you. You're needing something. Well, I'm going to close in a minute, but I saw Jim Baker the other night on the TV, on Larry King Live. He said, his hair's red, I don't know what color it used to be, I forgot. He was black, but anyway, you know, one down to Jim and Tammy. He said, Well, I've learned a lot being in prison. I've learned that God loves you and God will forgive you. And I'm against all these folks. And I've wrote a book on all these people that's getting this money in and making this big to-do on the TV by preaching. He said, that ain't right. God showed me it wasn't right, and I was messed up. Somebody messed me up with a verse of Scripture. You better listen to this. Might mess some of you up. Somebody had told him that God said above all that you ought to prosper. And he got a hold of that. He got a hold of him. I think he had the wrong Bible. He got it out of something. I don't know where. But anyway, he said, you're saved by grace. It's all the grace of God. It's all the goodness of God. And then he goes on telling about how bad that is. And then he told about where we are. He said, you know, I've studied the book of Revelation word by word. And I've studied it in the Greek. I've studied it in our language, in English. And he said, we're in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. Well, I said, thank God. I preached on that here a while back. I ain't too sure where we are, but I do believe the horse is loose. I believe that black horse, or that pale horse, may be riding tonight. Amen. I mean, death and hell followed him. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus Christ is the only hope of this world, and when he starts pouring out the judgment of God, when he starts opening seals, buddy, and you say, well, he ain't going to be here. Well, we may not be here, but we're here now. And I've never seen so much happen in my life. But I want to tell you right now, the Son of God is still there. And he's still the Son of God. Amen. And he's still able to save you. He's still able to save me. Still anybody. Of course, I'm already saved. But anybody that's not saved, he's able, more than able, save to the uttermost all of those that have come to him. Said if you come to him, he would in no wise cast you out. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I want to read it again. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. But there's no room for him in the end, and not much room in the day in the church, really, for him. I want to tell you something. This next year, if God will let me live, I want to make room for Jesus.
Amen.
At Brookside. Amen. I could care less what else anybody thinks. I want him to be the main one. And if nobody comes but him, I want him to be here. I want him to walk up and down these aisles. I want him to be the main one in this whole service. And I want to preach him every time I preach, if I can. I want to be able to preach Jesus and him crucified. Greatest gift on this whole earth. The greatest friend that I've ever had. And the greatest one that you'll ever meet. I mean, somebody that'll never leave you, never forsake you. And I mean, supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory for Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, he's so good. I mean, it just amazes me. And I don't have to do nothing to get him to do that. I mean, I don't do nothing to get God to do anything. He does it before I can even think of it. I never know what I need. He supplies them before I can think. We've got more stuff than we've ever got this year. I believe it's been the greatest year. I know the children got more money than they ever had. More gifts than they ever got. More most of everything they've ever got. I never seen it like it. And stuff has come in here. And God just sent it. And I appreciate it. I thank him. Not for material things only, but I praise that God for every time the Holy Ghost has come by here. And if Jesus hadn't have died, the Holy Ghost wouldn't have come. But he had to die. And he said, but I'll not leave you comfortless. Ain't he good?
Amen.
Send a comforter right when you need him. And all of us do need him. Some of us need him at times worse than others. But he's never one time let any of us go that he wouldn't comfort us. He's the God
of all comfort.
Amen.
God is the God of all comfort, and I'm glad for it. All right, I'm going to let you go. It's 7 o'clock, and I'll preach about as long as I'm feeling like I'm able. So I'm going to let you go. Appreciate you coming. If somebody comes in late, we'll some of us stay around here and sort of say howdy to them and pray with them for being late. Let's stand on our feet. I hope you have a great day tomorrow. Hope it'll be the greatest Christmas you've ever had. You pray for the ones that are not with us tonight. Many of them had to go to their home, went home for Christmas. Now, I'm not fussing at anybody. I'm just thank God. I thank God that old mine done gone. I ain't got nowhere to go. Pretty good. I never did go anyhow. But I don't have any kin folks now to go see. I don't have nobody but a brother living. And he don't come see me when it ain't Christmas, so I ain't going to fool with him. He wouldn't come for Christmas either. I called him, tried to get him to come over here. It's a 30-minute drive, but that's all right. We don't have that much in common. I love him. Guess he loves me, but he loves his fiddle better than he does me. So let him fiddle. And I'll just stay over here and play the juice harp or whatever. You pray for him, though. I do want you to pray for my brother. He's the only one in the family I've got left. He said he's saved. Used to teach Sunday school, lead the singing, shut the house down. But he's not in there anymore like he was. You say, well, I don't believe them folks are saved. I don't know. I sometimes wonder myself. Makes me wonder. I doubt sometimes folks like that get saved, but I'm not God. And I sure am glad of that. Because if I was, I'd done condemned everybody. But he said he didn't come to condemn anybody. He come that the world might be saved. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your goodness tonight, how good you are, how good you've been to us. And I pray you'll go with us to our homes, watch over us, bring us back at the next appointed time. And Lord, give these folks a safe journey wherever they go for the Christmas holidays. And bring us back Sunday, and may all of us be healthy and able to come. In Jesus' name, amen.